How do you make sure you don't get buyer's remorse? That's pretty important. Well, if you've done all the other things we've talked about, you're not likely to get buyer's remorse because of the level of relationship you have and because you've really qualified the person. But to be absolutely certain you don't get buyer's remorse, you must learn now to create a future for your product in the prospect's mind. What do I mean by that? You must learn to do something we call future pacing. What does future pacing mean? Future pacing means sometimes when you're here with a prospect and you're in this casual environment and you spend some time with them and they get real excited about the product, they think of the product and they feel all these good feelings. But then sometimes they go home. And when people go home, you've got to remember, people don't want to believe they bought for emotional reasons for the most part or for sentimental reasons. They want to immediately be able to justify it. Even ask people why they're getting married many times and they'll justify it. Well, you know, he's a great provider and he's a great this and he's, or she's a great this way, she's great that way. It's amazing what people often do to justify. So many times people will go home and somebody else in their life will begin to question whether or not they made an intelligent decision. They'll say, listen, that salesman got you all wrapped up, or, you know, I can't believe you did that. We have all these other priorities. And sometimes what happens is people lose their enthusiasm because they reevaluate things and start to go, oh, God, buying this meant pain. Buying this meant I got rejected by somebody who I really care about, or they think I'm not so smart. And so then they fall out and they get this thing we call buyer's remorse. The best way to prevent that from happening is future pace, which means make sure that once the buyer has made the decision to buy and you've completed the transaction, you've done the paperwork, now what you want to do is put them into the future and have them describe to you how this product is going to benefit them for years to come. And the way you do that is real simple. Let's say you just sold someone a large van, let's say, and you say, Mary Lynn, I understand that you're real excited about this. Is this the right van? Do you really feel like, so of course, I wouldn't have bought it if it wasn't. This is great. Let me ask you a question. A year from now, what will you be doing with this van that will really make it worthwhile, make you glad that you made this decision today? A year into the future. And that person will have to stop and think. And as they think, they might say, well, you know, we'll be going to the mountains with the kids, and we'll be doing this, and we'll be doing that, and this, and this. And you say, tell me more. What else? And what you do is get them to link in their mind to your product specific benefits that won't only last in this moment or for the next couple weeks, but will last through time. So then when they go home and somebody says, oh, that salesman got you all pumped up, they go, no, honey, listen, a year from now we'll still be using this. We'll be doing this, we'll be going to the mountains, and they'll be able to justify their purchase. Remember, people do things to avoid pain and gain pleasure, and people buy not to get their needs met usually, but to get their wants met. And that what they also need besides wants is they need to be able to justify it. If someone is not bought, it's because they don't have a strong enough want, a strong enough desire, or a strong enough hurt, or they don't have enough justification. You analyzed your own buying patterns in that way, didn't you? And in the future, if you want to convince yourself, say, God, I need to create more want, or I need to create more justification to kick myself over the edge. But that's the process. It's called future pacing. And if you will future pace clients every time, I repeat, every time, where before they leave your presence, you're certain, absolutely certain, that they've created a future, then you're going to find that this thing called buyer's remorse, it'll be a thing of the past for the most part in your career. What's left? Well, if you want to create a future and not just have the person stick, you've got to now take this effort, this gem you've developed called a relationship where you've really met somebody's needs, you need to convert that into new business. You need to be able to leverage all your time and effort here through this person. And the way to do that, of course, is referrals. And I'll tell you the best way to do it. Number one, when you go to give somebody, ask for referrals, you must believe that they're going to give them to you. The biggest problem I think most people have is they don't have any conviction. They either don't ask for referrals or they don't have any conviction about how important it is. What I'll tell people usually is something very similar to, you know, the only way I'm able to build my business is by people who are satisfied with me, who feel like I've done a good job referring other people they care about. Let me ask you a question. Have I done a good job for you? What I immediately do is I either find out I have or I haven't. Obviously, most of the time they say, well, gosh, you've done a great job. Say, well, could you do me a favor then in return? What you're now inducing is what? Reciprocation. Remember, people will do more out of their need to reciprocate than they even will because they like you. So you're reminding them that you've done them a favor, but you're doing it elegantly. You say, could you give me the names of, and I will always ask for more than I think I'll get. I'll say five people, and I'll describe what these people might be like. They are heads of companies in the particular area that may have a sales staff of this size, and I describe in detail so they have time to think. So I don't just say, can you give me five referrals? And the person goes, well, call me later. No, I give them time to think. I say, could you give me the names of five people? And then I describe in detail the kinds of people that I'm looking to be able to have a chance to work with. And I obviously tap into their need or desire to help this person. Say, because I'd like to assist them with some of the same possibilities. And, you know, I'll deal with them with the same integrity I've dealt with you. I will make sure that I meet their real needs, and if I can't, then I'm not going to waste any of their time. And I'll make sure that what will happen is that what they want most, they'll really get out of our relationship. And I know you can trust me, can't you? Well, of course. Great. So would you open your book right there, and then I'll guide them. Would you open your book there, and could you give me at least five names? And if you ask for five, you're going to get no less than three. Once I've got them, I now want to leverage myself, and so I will enroll, and it's different for every industry, I'll enroll that person in helping me to get business. Now, some people do it by paying a fee. Some people give them a bird-dogging fee. Some people just say, would you please do me a favor? I know you're really busy. Could you do me a favor and just call two of those five right now for me and just tell them who I am so I can make a connection with them? Just take 60 seconds. I'd really appreciate it. Right then and there, if you can get them to pick up the phone and call two or three people, guess what? You're not going to be rushing out there making cold calls. You know, the statistics show that one referral is worth at least 15 cold calls. So every time you go out and have a sale, you want to get some referrals. In fact, even if you don't get the sale, you want to get some referrals. Somebody tells me, no, I want to get referrals from them too. Always be searching for referrals. That is how you take your business to another level. And if you can find a way to cause this person to really feel like they can support you, that they're indebted to you, like they can make a difference for you by helping you with a few friends, and you've got the level of relationship you should have by now, you should have no trouble being able to have more than enough appointments. We're able to spend three or four appointments a day eye to eye with customers who you're really trying to make a difference with. Well, you don't have to spend all your time making cold call appointments. Lastly, how do you use the referrals? Well, sometimes I hear people get referrals, but they don't create a future, because here's what they do. They take the referral. They don't get the person to follow through. They don't find out about the referral. Remember, step one we went through was get prepared. If somebody gives me a referral, my next question is, what do you like about this person? What's great about this person? I'm starting to prepare in my mind. How do you think they could use my product? And I'm immediately getting information so that when I call that person, I can share with them a compliment, a third-party compliment that somebody else gave me. I already have things that I'm going to like about them because I've already heard and they've got a reputation to live up to. Right? I'm already doing my homework up front for my next sale while I'm still at this one. That's how you develop wealth instead of just going out and starting over to make another sale. You don't want to start over all the time. You want to build. Every time you make a sale, you want that sale to lead to multiple additional sales with even less effort and a lot more fun and a lot more joy and develop a network that works for you. The way not to use a referral is to call that person up with little or no information and go, hi, this is Tony Robbins. I'm with Robbins Research, and I know Mike Carpenter is a friend of yours, and he told me to give you a call. That is the wrong way to use a referral. Why? They don't care who you are. All you have to do is first get their attention. What do you say? Person calls up, you call them up, and they say, Mr. Williams? And the person goes, yes. You go, Mr. Paul Williams? They say, go, yes. You go, Mr. Williams, you don't know me, but we have a mutual friend. And that friend is, and you tell him his name. And Dan Smith told me, he's with Robbins Research, he told me about something about you that I thought was really incredible. And you immediately link them. He feels that you would have a tremendous benefit if I were to expose you to an idea that we have. By the way, my name is Tony Robbins, and I'm with Robbins Research. I don't tell him my name and my company up front. None of that matters. I immediately grab his attention. You don't know me, but we have a mutual friend. That's the proper way to use a referral. Lastly, if you're going to create a future, you can't just get referrals. You want to build a lifelong relationship, hopefully, or at least a long-term relationship with this person. The best system that I have found that is simple, that anyone can use so you have an ongoing relationship, is to take the people that you have as customers or clients and to rate their level of importance in terms of contact. How often should you be in contact? A, B, or C. A, customers you're going to probably pay attention to constantly. They're people you're going to be on their tail and being visiting with them all the time. But you take these people and you put them into a file box. And what you do is you divide that file box into 13 weeks. Week one is letters A's and B's. Week two, C, D. Week three, E, F. What this does is every week you open your file. We're at week one. And you take all the people whose last names are A's and B's and you send them a thank you note, a reminder note, a thinking of you note. What this guarantees is four times a year, every person you've ever met will get some kind of communication from you. And it's effortless. It's painless. You don't have to say, God, when was the last time I talked to this person? You know when it was. It's right there in your file. And you can put together some standard notes or letters, or you can set it up in more depth where you've got birthdays and every bit of detail as well. It all depends on how committed you are to making that contact and what level of contact that is. But I highly support you in creating a future that now the sale has only begun. What you want to do is have this lifelong relationship so they'll buy from you again. You get the enjoyment of the friendship you've created, because every time you go out to make a sale, you have an opportunity to have a lifelong friend. I can remember one of the first people that I sold a product to for Jim Rohn. The guy is still one of my best friends. It was a cold call. And he's bought lots of product from me, but what's more fabulous for me is how long we've been friends and the things that we've shared and the things we've known and how we watch each other grow. You have a unique opportunity. You and I have the ultimate business. We're in a place where if we care deeply enough, if we really are professional, if we find people's real needs and meet them, we get paid to make friends. We get to have lifelong friends and be paid to have them. Most people would give anything to have as many friends as you and I have. That's pretty incredible. So don't take it for granted. Make sure that your focus is on creating long-term relationships.